This is Basketball U.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Might take a while. They're going down the stretch. They're going to run after 10.
Inside 30 overall. Love. Ooh. Top of the key. Oh! Big time delivery.
That was the call on CBS, Jim Nance, and Raf, as well as Grant Hill out there. Talk about maybe one of the biggest shots we've seen in the tournament, because it's funny, we still have not seen that game-winning buzzer beater, which we usually have a handful of them at this point, which maybe means we're setting up for one in the championship game.
The editor for One Shining Moment's getting itchy, right? he or she needs that final one. They really hasn't. And even the low-scoring games throughout the tournament, and which made a lot of people think that was going to continue yesterday, especially when you get into the big cavernous superdomes and depth perception can, no matter how many shoot-arounds you get in a couple days before you actually play a game, that can be a little bit of an adjustment. But to see that second game yesterday get into kind of a run and gun and a much more fast-paced game was really enjoyable, instead of some of the slog it out type games, including the one earlier.
Right. So Caleb Love, he has been everything for this team in the tournament. And it's weird because you can say that probably for two or three guys on this roster. And it just kind of shows where this team came from ever since mid-February, where they've only lost one game since then, and all their wins have been by seven or more points. And I look at what Caleb Love, his transformation, and we talked about it from the point guard play standpoint, because that is so critical once you get to this time of the year. And boom, he goes out there with 28 points, the bulk of them coming in the second half. I don't think he scored for the first 15 or so minutes of the game. And then all of a sudden, he goes out there and puts together this out-of-body experience. He hits some big threes. He gets to the basket. And again, he took 10 threes. He was not that great shooting the basketball from distance in this game. He was 3-for-10 from behind the arc. But how many times did he set up defenders and cross him over and then get into the lane and finish with that finger roll at the rim? That, to me, is what makes Caleb Love dangerous. It's when he's got that ability to show that he can score at the rim. Because when he's not doing that and the three-point shot's not falling, he's kind of a useless player out there on the floor. But when he is getting downhill using screens, and this is a Carolina team that's got some really good screen setters. When you look at Bacot, when you look at Brady Manick, when he's got that, this team can go. And this team will have a chance against Kansas if Caleb Love has one of the good Caleb Love games.
Yeah, not the five-point fallout Caleb Love games. Then to that point where they've won by 6-7 points, how important was yesterday's game where you had the 18 lead changes and the 12 ties to every, for 30 minutes of a 40-minute game? Mm-hmm. It was a possession game, right? So does that toughen you up mentally more than anything else if you get in that kind of a dogfight? But that said, if Kansas comes out with that same kind of kill shot in the opening 10 minutes, all bets are off. But I don't expect them to be able to do what they did to Villanova to this UNC team. So I think we're in for a, I don't know if it's going to be the same back and forth game with those types of lead changes that we saw yesterday, but I think it will be a much closer game. It's not going to be a blowout on either side.
Here's what's intriguing to me, because Carolina is a team that all season long, we've kind of said it, you'll know in the first 5 minutes if they're going to win. And we've seen games where they lay flat. We've seen games where they absolutely run it up on teams. And in this game, they hung around and they were leading for a good chunk of that first half against Duke last night. And if they can do that against Kansas, I think this is going to be the perfect balance, the perfect example of that against Kansas tomorrow. You're going to know what Carolina team you're getting. And I just look at the matchup between the bigs. It's going to be really intriguing to watch the sort of inconsistency that we've seen at point guard too on each side as well heading into this game. It's a chess match, and you've got two great coaches as well. Hubert Davis has moved into the echelon of great coach thanks to this run. Bill Self, he's done it before. He's been to Final Fours. He's been to national championships. He's won national championships. So looking at these two teams as they head into this finale tomorrow night, I mean, I think this is almost as perfect as of a matchup as you could ask for. And you didn't think you'd be getting that out of a 1-8 matchup. I mean, think about it. A 1-8 matchup, you're used to seeing that in the second round, not the national championship. And now we've got a chance to see a really good one between these two.
So I mentioned a Jalen Wilson against Manek. Is it McCormick and Lightfoot against Backot? I mean, who are some of the X factors that you would on either side, on either team that have to show up? I mean, Remy Martin was all everything for 2 months here, right?
Uh-huh.
And then is that the outlier game yesterday, or is he reverting back to, you know, knee injury Remy who can't take over and dominate and be a focal point of a game?
I don't think the bigs are going to decide this game. I think they're going to sort of neutralize themselves with McCormick playing the way that he is and Bacot, who knows how healthy he is, too. That's the looming question. He turned that ankle. He did come back into the game, but sometimes with those ankle injuries, you can come back, but what's it going to be like on Sunday? What's it going to be like on Monday? And who knows what his health status is going to be going into Monday? My guess, he's going to play, right? But how effective can you be and how physical can you be and how much can you elevate to get some of those rebounds? I think it is going to come down to the guards. It's going to come down to who plays better, which combination plays better here. Is it going to be the RJ Davis and Caleb Love combo, or is it going to be the DeJuan Harris and Remy Martin combination? That, to me, is where this game is going to be decided, because those have been the inconsistent groups. And whichever one, because one of them is going to step up. One of them is going to step up. And whichever one it is, that's the team that's probably going to win.
Well, guard play used to be when you went into selecting your brackets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, it was, okay, senior-driven teams, terrific backcourt teams, Now you see bigs who can shoot it from the outside, from beyond the arc, right? I'm with you, though. We saw it with Villanova, the four turnovers in the first 5-6 minutes, combined with the hot shooting of what Kansas was putting up. I mean, that was the death knell for them. So guard play is still very important. I'm not sure it's as important as it was 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 6 years ago.
And here's the other thing is there's a fascinating matchup on the wing as well. When you look at Oshai Agbaji and how good he was in that last game against Villanova, and then you've got Brady Manek on the other end, who's been Mr. Everything for this team throughout the course of the NCAA tournament, has been one of those consistent cogs for Carolina all season long. I mean, he's never going to have to buy a drink in Chapel Hill for the rest of the time he's on this earth, and he's a grad transfer. He's only going to spend 1 year at Carolina, and he's beloved by the fan base. So that, to me, is another interesting chess match, too, because who is going to guard Agbaji? Are you going to put Brady Manek on him, who got the assignment of Paolo Banchero for a good amount during that Duke game, or are you going to put a guy who's a little more defensive-minded in Leaky Black? To me, if I'm Hubert Davis, I'm putting Leaky Black on Oshai Agbaji, because I would rather save Brady Manek's legs for the offensive side and let him go to work offensively, as opposed to make him play, give 110% on both ends. I think that's one of the little chess matches to look for in this game on tomorrow night.
Yeah, and really, do you want a guy named Leaky? Leaky
talk
defense.
Talk about, like, all names team. That's what you got on Carolina. You've got Leaky Black. You've got Puff Johnson. You've got Armando Bacot's a fun one. Caleb Love. I mean, Dontrez Styles. Kerwin Walton. Who's still naming their kids Kerwin? This is the all names team right here on Carolina.
I mean, and Leaky's his given name, right? I mean, that's just not
name. His given name is Rashawn.
Okay. Again, your defense doesn't need to be Leaky, but if Leaky's your best defensive player, go ahead and put him on.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. Let's head out to Virginia and check in with our guy, Will. What's going on, Will?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, it was kind of just a general comment that I was thinking about with the ACC. It's kind of funny how, like, you know, they're a dog, and rightfully so, during the regular season, and now they've kind of been, like, probably the best conference or one of the better conferences in the tournament. So even if, UNC doesn't win tomorrow, it's like they're still represented in the championship. So it's kind of just, I don't know, kind of funny to me how the ACC kind of showed up when it mattered. But even if Kansas does win, you know, shout out Danny, because I know that he would love that.
Yeah. No, I mean, Danny's partying right now. He's probably happy he didn't have to watch the end of the game, because the outcome was decided by the time he got to the Bulls game last night. And Will, we appreciate the call. And he brings up an interesting point, too, with the ACC getting dogged all year. And they should have. They were not a good conference. They were held up by Duke, really, throughout the course of the season. And then Carolina kind of came on late and did their thing. But I look at the ACC, and it's very similar to what happened with the Pac-12 last year, where the ACC was struggling throughout the season. They're not very good. A lot of people are questioning, should this team really even be in the tournament? And then, boom, what do you know? You got UCLA in the Final Four last year. Boom, you got two teams in the Final Four this year in the ACC. USC had a good run last year. Oregon took down a 2-seed as a 7-seed last year. So I think it's pretty similar to what we've seen so far from the ACC. And now the ACC is going to have a chance to take a championship home here. And I would have, if you told me an ACC team was going to be in the championship game and they're not Duke, I would have said, who the hell is it? Because I wouldn't have been able to tell you.
Yeah, and you know, I was just going to see with Danny Zetterman, the Bulls don't play tomorrow, right? They host Miami on, or Milwaukee.
You are correct. I believe, what, Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday hosts Milwaukee. Big game, you know, because they do so well against good teams. But yeah, Danny hopefully has his schedule cleared tomorrow, so he can actually watch the championship game and not have to keep the family happy while he's one eye on the Jayhawks.
Yep. 312-332-3776. If you want to talk about Duke, you want to talk about Carolina, you want to give us a pick for the national championship game coming up tomorrow night. Also, has there been a retirement tour going on in the shadows of Coach K? We'll talk about that next.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN1000.
You're listening to Tyler Rocky and Brian Hanley. It's Basketball U talking college hoops. Talking college hoops with you on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Basketball U on ESPN 1000. Tyler Rocky, Brian Hanley. You can listen on ESPN 1000 100.3 HD2 and also that great ESPN Chicago app. Be sure to download that app if you don't have it already and find the Basketball U podcast there under the additional podcast feed. Also, you can watch us on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. All right, so Brian, there's been all this made up about the Coach K retirement tour, right? And it came to a grand close. He's riding off on his golf cart, and he's telling reporters, and you can superimpose a sunset on this. You can superimpose a sunset. And this
Well, you mentioned the Nike t-shirt with just the K.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did you see the North Carolina Barstool t-shirts?
I did not, no.
I mean, you talk about heartless. In powder blue t-shirt, Coach K funeral with the, you know, character of him laid out. And then one I did get kind of a kick out, Coach 401K, where he's in a wheelchair with a blanket over his lap and someone's pushing him around. But
there's also the letter that comes after K. And that's how he went out his career. there's all this stuff. And I mean, you look at with Coach K.
Holy mackerel. No, shut up.
I mean, this has been pent up, and it was almost everything that you expected it to be this year, with the celebration of Coach K, the gifts he was showered with, the ESPN features, and now you find out there's a documentary. But deep down, if you look and if you've been following what's been going on behind the scenes of all of this, if you look at what's happening with Roy Williams throughout this entire process, he has gone on a retirement tour of his own. He started off by going to Michigan State, seeing his old buddy Tom Izzo. And again, Roy Williams is retired. He did it the right way. He said, we're not doing this retirement tour nonsense. We're going out at the end of the season like everybody else does. We don't need to be showered with gifts along the way. So what does he do? He goes.
It was a year ago yesterday he announced
yes,
it, right?
Mm-hmm. He goes out to Michigan State, sees his old buddy Tom Izzo. After that, he goes to his old stomping grounds in Lawrence, Kansas, sees his guy Bill Self. Meanwhile, throughout this entire process, he has also been showing up at Carolina games. He seceded his office. He's stepped away. He's been out of all that. He's not keeping his office in the stairway to heaven. And then he gets this unlikely Carolina run. You go out as the 8 seed and you knock off a 1 seed. You eliminated the first 1 seed from the NCAA tournament. Then you follow that up with a trip and a victory over a team that went to the Final Four last year in UCLA. What's next? You end the Cinderella story of St. Peter's. And where does it culminate now? You get to New Orleans for the Final Four. Roy's there. He's fist pumping throughout this entire process. He's been shown on TV countless times throughout this NCAA tournament in that Argyle blue mask of his. And he gets the last laugh from the stands over Coach K. And what do we have here in the national championship to culminate the retirement tour for Coach K? It is the Roy Williams Bowl between Carolina and Kansas. The last two schools that Roy coached at and has taken to national championship games. At Carolina, he won multiple national championship games. And this is how we're seeing the Roy Williams retirement tour come to a close. This is what happens when you do it the right way, Kay. If he had stepped aside, let Shire go about his business, who knows? It might be Duke here next year.
Well, you know, I think I was listening to the Odds Couple yesterday, and Mike North, the great Mike North, and Carm, I believe, had a prop bet on one of the sportsbook sites. Either how would they show Roy Williams more than would they show Coach K's wife, Mickey? Or would they show him before they showed Mickey? But it was one or the other. But as you mentioned, how many, I think, you know, two or three times you can get a Roy Williams TV shot during any of their games, right? Minimum, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Now, will he weep should they win tomorrow night? Because Roy, you know, it didn't take much to get him all teary-eyed when he was coaching the Tar Heels. Back to the tears of joy or the tears of sadness that we start the show with Coach K's kids. But yeah, he's been there. Looks great too, by the way. You know, retirement's he's doing well by retirement.
Living in that Carolina sunshine. I mean,
yeah.
So to think back on that profit, I don't know how it cashed out, but I would guess K's wife Mickey was shown more. I would guess. And remember, there was the whole thing where she went down the line and was high-fiving all the Duke students
to clear out the way and get ready to the victory walk.
That's the equivalent of wheeling the champagne into the locker room right there, right?
It's the Red Auerbach cigar. Take the walk with the hubby.
Yep, and then all of a sudden, Carolina goes on this run, and then Caleb Love hits the big three-pointer, and what do you know?
Holy mackerel!
Carolina's moving on to the national championship game. But Roy Williams, I mean, it's great to see him still be a fan of the program, right?
Yeah.
And just be entwined. Like, he was the guy that recruited Michael Jordan to the program. I'm sure we'll see MJ at the national championship. I thought we would see him at the Final Four, but I would guess he'll be there for the national championship game. But the way that Carolina has made it to this national championship now, with unlikely stories, with an island of misfit toys in terms of a roster construction. I mean, let's not forget, too, one of their best players has not played for them as well. A guy that you know well in Dawson Garcia, he transferred over to Carolina from Marquette, and he has sat out. He had some family issues, so he's been away from the team for a while. So they're missing one of their best players, yet here they are competing for a national championship on Monday night.
You know, and back to the Coach K retirement tour, I was shocked in this the Sun-Times Saturday sports section. They do their poll. You know, Coach K still should be beloved or well-liked here in Chicago, the Northwest kid mm-hmm. from Weber High and all that, Northwest Side kid in the city, 63 or 64% of 1,000-plus votes. Basically like, hell no, I don't want to see him win it.
I mean, no, shut up.
Yeah, no, shut up. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I thought it'd be much more divided than that.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. I just wonder if Tom Ricketts will give him a K off the old scoreboard at some point where he throws out the first pitch of the summer.
Yeah,
it's not about me.
To divert the Cub fans from thinking their team's any good.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Coach K's here.
And I'm sure he'll bring Shire along too. I think this program is going to be in good hands with Shire because, I mean,
he's got a top recruiting class.
He's got the top recruiting class coming in. I believe he's got three of the top four players in the class headed to Duke next season. I mean, they're going to be loaded. And I'm intrigued to see how Shire does things differently. What's going to be different? I think certainly because nobody looks at Shire as the bad guy, right? I mean, certainly there are people who view Kay as the bad guy. Right. And I don't think that's going to hold with John Shire. I hate to say it, but Duke might become likable. They might become a likable program with Shire at the helm.
Well, I mean, if he sticks around for 42 years like Coach K, then maybe. I mean, does the unlikability come with being just on the big stage and being under the spotlight for as long as Coach K with the 1,202 wins?
Potentially.
And all the, mm-hmm. I think, you know, people love to build people up only to knock them down when they get too successful, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the whole live long enough to die a hero or live long enough to
yourself become a villain.
See yourself become the villain. Yes, thank you, Jake. That's exactly what it is. And I think that's part of what Kay sort of endured throughout his time. And he certainly had his run-ins with people throughout the course of his career. But it has been, I mean, again, you cannot take away anything. He's a Hall of Fame career. He's been the USA basketball guy. That a lot of NBA players have the respect for him as a result of that too. But in this situation, I feel like you're going to see a turn in the tide of Duke. You're going to see it turn, and they might become that likable program now. Because, like, look at this roster of Duke players. You see anyone on there in particular that you don't like? I mean, it's a pretty likable group when you look at guys like Mark Williams, AJ Griffin, Paolo Banchero, Wendell Moore. There's a lot of likable guys on that roster.
Yeah, Banchero, who may be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft too, right? And we talked about Mark Williams. Please get him a Bulls uniform, even though his stock apparently is making him a 15 to 20 pick instead of a 20 to 25 pick. So, you know, but that's who the Bulls need. They need that guy. They need that body. They need that guy.
Absolutely. All right. So Duke eliminated, Coach K, retirement tour over, and we're going to talk all about it with John Fanta from the Field of 68, from everything Big East. We've also got some DePaul stuff that we got to get to with John Fanta as well, because they may be a program on the up and up in
Charlie
this city.
Charlie Moore coming back?
I hope so.
He'll have the scoop on that. 312-332-3776 if you want to get your thoughts in on the national championship as well. John Fanta, you're not going to want to miss this. The most electric personality in all of college basketball will be joining us next. It's Basketball U on ESPN 1000.
Basketball U on Chicago's home for sports. Get the Basketball U podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Here are your hosts, Tyler Rocky and Brian Hanley.
It's Basketball U on ESPN 1000. Tyler Rocky and Brian Hanley. If you missed any of the show, be sure to check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. Download that ESPN Chicago app and find Basketball U. The podcast is right there for you. All right, let's go down to New Orleans now. Site of the Final Four, site of Monday's national championship game at the Caesars Superdome. And let's get in our guy, John Fanta. You can find him on the Field of 68, the Dowster, Tio, and Fanta show, as well as see his work on Fox, calls a number of games for them on Fox and FS1, and the host of Big East Shoot Around as well. John, I know New Orleans can lead to some late nights, especially when you get a classic like that in Duke, Carolina. How you feeling this morning?
Oh, I'm feeling great, Tyler. Thank you guys for having me.
ended up taking a little easier last night because the high of the game was that of a party alone. It was just one big college basketball celebration last night at the Superdome. And it felt like a night that the sport has been waiting for a couple of years because, as you guys know, we haven't had a normal Final Four since 2019. So 3 years of time has passed, and last night was just incredible. The energy in the building for Duke and Carolina, it didn't live up to the hype. It exceeded it.
Were you surprised that it did, John?
Yeah, I was. I thought that the buildup was going to be so much so that there was a chance that it could be a dud. I really did. And I wasn't surprised that it was a competitive game, but it was such a well-played game. Often people will make the take of the shot making in college basketball is not enough, and it needs to be better. And you know that you're not going to get that. You know, in the NBA, the shot making's elite, and you're not getting that in this sport. Well, last night was just terrific shot making. There was a span of 45 seconds where we saw three consecutive threes. Manic answering a big one, and then Duke comes down and Wendell Moore hits one, and they go to timeout. And all of a sudden, Montel Jordan, this is how we do it. It's in the Superdome. I just thought that the script of the night was spectacular. So I don't think anybody could have predicted that last night, and that's exactly what happened.
John Fanta joining us from New Orleans, Field of 68, Dowster T.O. and Fanta podcast. So, John, when you look at the magnitude of this game, the magnitude of the moment, it was going to be Coach K's last Final Four, and every game's had the potential to be Coach K's final game. Do you think, from the Duke side of things, did the moment just get too big for those kids?
Well, I think that when you look at the moment, like, it was the type of thing where those kids rose to the occasion. You know, they embraced that moment. I don't think that anything got too big for them because I think they learned in Coach K's final game at Cameron Indoor just what the pressure of the NCAA tournament was going to be, because once they had that night, guys, they were never going to have something quite like that where Mike Krzyzewski is walking through a tunnel of his former players, and you've got College game day on the ground there. There was the idea of there's no way they're going to lose this game. And that night they melted. And they needed that night to get to the Final Four, in my opinion. I don't think that last night Duke allowed the pressures of the situation to get to them. I just think they got outplayed by North Carolina in the second half.
We were talking about it earlier in the show, John, that you talk about rising to the occasion or meeting a moment or many moments. I mean, UNC was, you could have got them in Vegas at 150 or 200-1 at the end of February after they lost to Pitt. And yet, you know, they kicked Marquette, my alma mater, up and down the floor. And I'm thinking, okay, that Marquette didn't show up. I feel a little bit better now that they're in the title game, but is this just confidence plus talent, or when they meet the real talent that Kansas has up and down that roster, does the fun stop here? What gives with UNC? Is this more that they're playing with house money and they're not going to be afraid of anybody?
Well, they are playing with house money and they aren't afraid of anybody. And I think Armando Bacot summed it up earlier this week the best. He said, "Look, we knew that we had it in us to be great, but we haven't always showed it." Meaning, there were times this year when these kids didn't care enough to give an effort. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. There were times this year where Hubert Davis was coaching effort. He wasn't coaching basketball. And he's not having to do that anymore, and the talent is showing. This team is playing connected right now. They're playing really well on the defensive end of the floor. And guys, think about their path. I mean, this reflects now what they did to Baylor and going up by over 20 on the Bears. This reflects now on what they were able to achieve against UCLA, who people had as a dark horse Final Four team after they got there last year. And I thought the Bruins were playing really well, really good basketball here in the NCAA tournament, and North Carolina unseated them. And then, look, you unseated a team that had beaten Purdue and Kentucky. You know, we could talk about fluke or what. St. Peter's run was not fluky. They were beating those teams and beating them by playing physical and wanting it more. So for me, Carolina, we always knew they were talented, but I just think this group has become connected as the year's gone on. And I think that they're in a position here to win the national championship. I don't think that this is going to be too big for them or that Kansas is that much more talented than they are. I actually think that North Carolina's backcourt is playing better than Kansas. They had an elite shooting night. You know, in the previous three games before last night, Kansas had shot 13 for 44 from three. That's not good. Last night they shot 13 for 24 one game. So if the Jayhawks do that again tomorrow, they're going to be the national champion. But do I expect it to be a game down to the wire? I really do, and I could see Carolina coming out on top.
Talking with John Fanta right now from the field of 68, also on Fox Sports. And John, I look at this matchup, and you talked about the guards. You hinted how Carolina's guards are playing a little bit better, but I look at Kansas. And yeah, yesterday wasn't the greatest of performances for Remy Martin, but he has been... He's found a new gear pretty much since the Big 12 tournament. When you stack these two guard pairings up side to side here, what is it that gives you a little bit more confidence in Carolina than it does in Kansas?
Well, just the fact that Remy Martin has been inconsistent. As good as he's been at times in this NCAA tournament, was as disappearing as he was last. And so for me, I think that North Carolina's backcourt, they'll take a lot of shots, but they make things happen. And R.J. Davis and Caleb Love, how about the fact that Caleb Love was 0 for 5 in the first 15 minutes and goes for 28?
Mm-hmm.
He scored 28 in the last 25 minutes of the game. That's incredible. And so for me, I like the way that North Carolina has those two terrific scorers in Love and Davis, and that's where I side, because you've got to score the ball. You have to be able to score on good defense. These are two teams that are playing well defensively. North Carolina's been a top five defense in the last 40 days of college basketball. Top five. And Kansas in this NCAA tournament has been right there, too, only allowing 59 points per game in their NCAA tournament run. But I side with Carolina just because, guys, I see more consistency. DeJuan Harris had a great shooting night last night. That's not going to happen tomorrow. So for me... And people would say, well, why? How do you say that? Well, because logic would show that DeJuan Harris isn't doing that in back-to-back games. I think Kansas's backcourt is really good, but I think North Carolina's backcourt is the reason why they're playing in this national championship, whereas for me, Kansas is in the national title because they have an All-American in Ochai Agbaji who plays on the wing and a big man in David McCormick who doesn't want to go home.
When you look at Bacot, he rolled his ankle. Are we going to get any kind of update on him, or we expect him to be out there certainly? But will that news leak out? Will it be officially released? What do you expect?
Yeah, he's playing, and Hubert Davis said he's playing. It's a national championship game. I think he would play on one leg.
Sure.
But what kind of an impact does it have? Well, we're going to learn. We'll find out, and if it has an impact, then Kansas is winning this basketball game because you need a full-strength five-man to guard McCormick. Villanova did not have the talent. They just didn't match up with McCormick, and Kansas cashed in. They exposed Villanova defensively with their inside-out approach. So for me, guys, that's a huge element to the game. And only Armando Bacot knows what he's going to be able to do. But in regards to his status for this game, I think we're supposed to anticipate that he is at least 80%. I mean, I think that Armando Bacot is going to play this game, and I think he'll play well. I'm not really that worried about it. The guy had 22 rebounds last night, and he played and finished out the game, came back into the game and found a way. And he came back into the game right away. I mean, it was like a minute that he was out for. So I think Armando Bacot's fine.
Yeah, just some of the plays that he made when he came back in. I think it was one of the first possessions, and he's triple tapping a ball at the rim and elevating on all those. I think that was certainly a good sign for his health, but obviously always a scary situation when you see someone go to the locker room. Getting to inside of Kansas here a little bit, I look at the Jayhawks as a team that has really found a gear in the last three halves of basketball that they've played. What's different with them for the last game and a half that maybe wasn't there for the first three and a half games?
Well, I mean, I think they're shooting the basketball better from the perimeter. That's one of the biggest things is they've been able to generate perimeter shots and do it in an efficient fashion. So that's the thing that's changed for them is they're just getting more offense from their backcourt. So I think when you look at them, defensively, they've always been on point. Agbaji, elite talent. But what's happened is their backcourt has stepped it up and taken that next step.
You mentioned the fact that Kansas is, you know, they hit 13 and 24, 54% from three, 54% overall from the field. Do you expect a similar type of high-scoring game, or is it going to be back a game in the 60s and kind of take a little bit for these two teams to feel themselves out? How's it play out?
Yeah, I think in a national championship game, second game in three nights of this level of hype, I expect some more misses early tomorrow. That sometimes just happens by virtue of fatigue, by virtue of legs. So I expect a game that'll be decided in the mid-60s. Maybe it's cracked 70. I think they'll be scoring. I don't think it's going to be a dud because both these teams get in the open floor and they're going to get easy buckets along the way. Question becomes, whose half-court defense can get enough stops and can Carolina contain Agbaji? Because at the end of the day, Agbaji is the best player in this matchup. And if he plays like it, typically the team with the best player wins.
John, who do you think should guard? If you're Hubert Davis, this is one of the big chess match pieces that I'm looking at. Who's guarding Agbaji in this game? Are you putting more of a defensive-minded guy in Leaky Black on him, who maybe doesn't have to exert himself as much offensively? Or are you going to throw Brady Manek, who I thought did a fabulous job on Paolo Banchero down the stretch yesterday?
I think you got to put Leaky Black on Agbaji. This is a different level of a test. Agbaji's more seasoned than Banchero. Banchero's a terrific talent. But Ochai Agbaji can just score the ball in so many different ways. And guys, Ochai can shoot the ball better than Paolo does. This is an assignment for Leaky Black to take on for the Tar Heels.
How important is this game for Bill Self before we let you go, John? Because 15 Big 12 championships, 9 number one seeds, one title going back to 2008. Any pressure on him to get that second one?
I think there always is a natural pressure, and you're the coach of Kansas, so of course there's going to be expectations laid on you. But guys, like here's my dimension. We don't know what the penalties are going to be for Kansas with this FBI investigation. They could get hit with the show cause. They could get a postseason ban. The imagery of Mark Emmert handing Bill Self a trophy, now that's a loaded image in college basketball. So I think one is, yeah, there's some pressure, but two is we don't know what Kansas basketball could have to go through in a year or two with the NCAA violations. So that's where I sort of sit with this, and that's why I think, hey, knowing that, this night becomes bigger for Bill Self because this is his shot to get one, and who knows what a penalty from the NCAA could do to Kansas for two or three years of time, like we're seeing with LSU right now.
John Fanta, Field of 68. Real quick before we let you go, you are all things Big East. Mr. Big East, you've got a blazer that's got every single team logo on it. You personify the Big East. Some people like to say it's Rolly Massimino or Louis Karnisek. No, in my eyes, when I hear the Big East, I think John Fanta. But with DePaul, since we are here in Chicago, why should Blue Demon fans be optimistic that Tony Stubblefield's the right guy and can get this team into the tournament?
Well, it's because he's getting talent. Zion Cruz is one, and he's on several others. I mean, I had dinner last week with Tony, and he had about 10 hours in Chicago before he was getting on a plane to Arizona at 6 a.m. to go out recruiting again. So Tony Stubblefield's recruiting acumen is right up there near the top of the Big East. He's going to be able to get talent, and you've got to have dogs to win in the Big East Conference. So I think you're seeing the talent come in. You're going to continue to see it. But, guys, they play more connected. If you watched DePaul this year, you saw that they played more connected basketball. So that's why there's an upside with their direction.
All right. John Fanta from the Field of 68. Check out the Dowster, T.O. and Fanta podcast, and you can find them on Fox as well as the Big East Shoot Around as well. Thanks so much for your time, and enjoy Monday night.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
John Fanta, one of the best out there in college basketball. We'll wrap up the show, give you our picks for the national championship, and more coming up next.
Welcome back to Basketball U on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Here are your hosts, Tyler Rocky and Brian Hanley.
It's the finale of Basketball U here on ESPN 1000. I'm Tyler Rocky. He's Brian Hanley. We've been with you every single Sunday throughout the NCAA tournament. We appreciate everybody listening along throughout the process as well. And if you missed any of the show, if you missed John Fanta just moments ago, if you missed anything that we had with Jeff Goodman, we had on the show earlier, we had Rob Dowster as well, you can find it on the Basketball U podcast. You just got to download that ESPN Chicago app, go under additional podcasts, and you'll find all the episodes of Basketball U. All right, Brian. So we've got our matchup now in the national championship. You've got Carolina from the left side. You've got Kansas from the right side. It is a four-point spread as we enter this matchup. Who do you like in this game to cut down the nets?
Well, our Twitter polls, the majority of people are conflicted when it comes to the spread. It's 52-48?
Just how Vegas likes it.
People are taking the points, right? So they're not doubting UNC to keep it close. But interestingly enough, straight-out winner, one of our other Twitter poll questions, who wins 63%, and it's not all Danny Zetterman and his family. I have to go with them. I think Remy Martin's going to show up and play much, much better, like he's played in the last month, not like yesterday. And so I think that's encouraging for KU that they got it done convincingly against a shorthanded Villanova team, but all their guys didn't have their A game. So I think they're going to win, and I would think they're going to cover as well.
Yeah, I look at it as here's how North Carolina games usually go. North Carolina will win it outright, or you will see Kansas go out and cover. I think that's just sort of the feel that I don't see games where Carolina goes out and loses but covers a spread, especially when you get into the NCAA tournament where these numbers are really no more than four when you've got pretty equal teams, especially in a national championship game like this one is. So I am going to actually roll with UNC in this game, kind of like what John said, how the guards are playing a lot better for Carolina right now. And I just think this is sort of the storybook season for Carolina to go out and close this thing out. And I think even if Baycott is a little bit hobbled for Carolina, he still has that ability to out-rebound, out-physical, out-tough David McCormick. I don't think David McCormick is going to be the best big man in this game, and he's going to have to be to give Kansas a shot in this one. I really think that it's going to come down to the guards, though. I think we're going to see Caleb Love probably make a more concerted effort to get going early. I think that's something that Hubert Davis is certainly going to try to inject into him. And I think RJ Davis, I mean, defensively, what they can bring in a game like this is intriguing to me. And not to mention, there's a Brady Manek who's waiting to erupt in the Final Four, and I think he probably has his moment in this game against Kansas.
Well, if Caleb Love and RJ Davis combine like they did last night for, 46 points, then you know, you feel pretty good about that. Look, I don't see a buzzer beater, right? I'm with you. I think Kansas and Caleb Love, as John pointed out, 28 points in the final 25 minutes. He's got to get going sooner than that, or else you might be looking at a double-digit deficit, and then Kansas can just go ahead and impose its will on you. So you always say at UNC, you'll know in the first 5 minutes or so what kind of team, which UNC team showed up, and I buy that tomorrow night as well.
I also, in the case for Kansas, too, on the other side, what you're vouching for here, I do think that there is something to be said about Carolina going out and playing a hard-fought game, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally last night. Is that their championship internally? Maybe. You look at it last year's championship game, Baylor blew the doors off of Houston. And then on the other side, you had Gonzaga play toe-to-toe and rely on an overtime buzzer beater from half court from Jalen Suggs to win that game. That, to me, could be a factor as well. One team really had to grind out a victory where the other team kind of coasted.
Tournament tough, yeah. UNC got that mental challenge and physical challenge and ended up finding a way to win that game. So that's, I mean, that's got to be a great experience for them to draw upon tomorrow night.
Yeah. All right, everybody, enjoy the national championship. And, hey, go check out Twin Peaks and Oak Brook. Bleck and Abdallah will be watching the national championship game out there. They'll be doing a live show from 6 to 8 tomorrow. White Sox baseball coming up later on today at 3:30. And don't forget, we've got Carmen and Yurko starting 12 to 2 tomorrow. A little bit of a lineup change. Thanks to Jay Cantu for producing, and thanks to Brian Hanley for hopping in with us today, and thanks to John Fanta as well. We'll talk to you guys later.
Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, State Street Studio.
This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago,
a Good Karma Brands radio station.